Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together and bless the Lord this morning. As we pull the curtains open, you are going to be receiving many prophetic words as scriptures. And I want to start by declaring to you, Kambale Kotosi, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16 to 19. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 19. Say, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. Ale Kabbalah. He said, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as thought. Now, please understand that Isaiah is referring to the battle that happened at the Red Sea. This scripture. He said, so you can go into the past and take a previous testimony and weaponize it. Are you with me? Something major. Especially if what you are contending with now is also major. You can take something that the Lord has done, bring it to present tense, weaponize it. He said, therefore, remember not. You see, this 18th verse is as though you are going into the court and you are saying, based on this a case that was decided on, it might be 20 years ago, as long as there is precedence, you may not be qualified for divine intervention, but I came to tell you there's precedence. I came to tell you that it was not everyone who perished that needed to die. They didn't have a good lawyer. A lawyer can harm your case. If you don't want to pay, that lawyer will send you to prison. Because if you pay peanuts, monkeys will work for you. Look at how Isaiah uses scripture. Verse 18 is consequent upon the previous two verses. He was saying that just as the Lord, irrespective of the multitude of horses and chariots that came against the people of Israel, and I hope you know, the children of Israel were walking on foot, so they had no advantage. Even if the Egyptians didn't fire one arrow, the horses will outrun them. But you see, the Egyptians also came to that battle with, as though proverbially, when they say, you bring a machine gun to a sword fight. So they also came with weapons, equipment, to re-enslave the people. Even though Pharaoh had lost his first son, he now wanted heaven. Who told you that Satan will let you go just like that? Look at how long Jesus died and resurrected, and even told us that all powers in heaven and on earth have been given to him. But still look at what Satan is doing. Despite the fact that he said he has spoiled all principalities and powers. But see what Satan is doing. There are some of you here the warfare is so intense that you know that if you don't fast in a month, you are in trouble. You know you are in trouble. You are just managing and holding your position. Some of you know that if you begin to sin again, you know what Satan will do to you. But today I came to tell you there's precedence. I want you to declare there's a precedence for my breakthrough. I want you to prophesy there's a precedence for my breakthrough. The devil may not like it. My friends may not agree. But there is a precedence for my breakthrough. I am not asking for something God cannot do. I said I am not asking for what God cannot do. Therefore, put up that scripture. Remember not the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Let me tell you something. One of the things Satan will do to you is to remind you that the last time you fasted, nothing happened. And as long as that thing that he's saying to you keeps settling in your mind. You see, because the battlefield is in the mind. You may have the victory in your spirit, but if your mind is not stable, the scripture says a double-minded man is what? That means even his victory is not sure. If you still believe the doctor's report over what Jesus said to you, I'm not against the doctors, but if you believe your age can be a barrier to your breakthrough, oh, are you still here? If you believe that you are too old to be blessed, then you are not in Caleb's generation. Please tell your neighbor, you are not too old. You are God's choice. Please prophesy. If your neighbor can't prophesy, change them, please. I say, please prophesy to your neighbor and say, you are not too old. You are the one God chose. You are God's choice. You are God's choice. You are God's choice. You are God's choice. In the name of Jesus. Refuse to consider. Refuse to consider. You see, it's a decision. Many times those considerations come when you are lying on your bed. Many times those considerations come when somebody who is not even doing so well in your office gets promoted over you. Those considerations come when you realize that the person who always comes late to the office gets the right hand of fellowship. And then you ask yourself, I come first, I go last. For what purpose? And then they tell you, it's not about hard work. It's about being strategic. Then the devil will remind you that that was how your father, who was a police officer, that was how he struggled and he did not get promoted till he was retired. There are some professions in this country. If your parents find yourself somewhere in that bracket, you must pray. Yes. One of those professions is the police. Because the average Nigerian, it's not that there's something wrong. I think it's something all over the world anyway. There's something about the perception. You see, and spirits gather around perceptions. It's not only what you say. If people feel somehow or somewhat pained when they think of you, that pain will attract spirits. You may not know why. You are happy the moment you enter into the office, you get depressed. You may not be able to explain. Words have been spoken. People may hug you and shake you, but in their heart, their mind is close to you. So you just notice that people are saying hello, but you are not gaining access to them. You can't get anything from them. The average policeman in this country is not blessed by the citizens. The citizens don't pray for them. The citizens curse them. They curse them. And when they curse them, they don't say, okay, separate the ones on the road, on the field, and those in the office. No. Every time you see a police officer, something tells you they are about to collect money from you. You are already defensive. You are oppressed. You feel oppressed. So if one of your parents ever found himself or herself in that field, you need to pray. Because if they did that job for 40 years, spirits can hover around you for 40 years. There's nothing wrong with the profession. I'm telling you that the police force will not change until the nation Nigeria blesses it. If you like, change the IG. If you like, recall all the police escorts. It's just for 1 week. They'll go back. Be observant. History can work with revelation. But when you now gather history and you see the case that has been presented before you, then God says, when you stand before me, consider not. Do not consider the former things. I know you lost a baby. I know you lost that job. I know things are not really working. God says, what I'm about to do will require a step of faith. And the first step of faith is that you will no longer consider. Please tell your neighbor, don't consider the former things. It is a spiritual principle. And you must get this today. Even if all you have is one client, consider not. Because Israel will remain barren until it realizes that God is her husband. God described himself as the husband to Israel. And when Israel became difficult, God handed over Israel to other nations. When Israel saw how they treated Nasser, this one, it's better we should go back to our first love. These 21 days, the chariots of Egypt, Pharaoh, every sympathizer will be buried completely. Sometimes it is the sympathizers that are the most brutal. Because they are not the ones fighting you, but they can be used. Because they are sympathizers. For whatever reason, they don't like you. But this month, we will know our God as the man of war. That amen is weak. Put up that scripture. He said, do not consider the things of old. Next verse. For behold, I, Jehovah, we do a new thing. Irrespective of what you have been going through, there is still something I can do with this matter. Say, what do you have in your house? Just a little oil. I can do something with it. There is nobody that God has not given a deposit. There's no one that is standing here that there is nothing in your hands that God can. There is something. Satan can take away everything, but God will ensure that there is a little container of oil that must be left. It is God's token of grace to you. The problem is that that thing which is in your house, you are despising it. He said, that thing shall spring forth, and you will know it. He said, I will even make a way in the wilderness, and I will bring rivers in the desert. Let me tell you, one of the most difficult things to do is to make a way in the wilderness. Because the sand, the soil, everything is complicated. You don't have most of the resources you need there. And one of the most impossible things to imagine is to find rivers in the wilderness. You only find that in a dream or a mirage. If you are out there in the wilderness, you'll be seeing water, but there's no water. You see visions. When you are in the wilderness, you see visions. Visions of things that are impossible, but you are seeing them. Some of you are seeing visions of your breakthrough. You are seeing visions of a new beginning, and the devil is telling you it's a mirage. I came to tell you, God said, that is a confirmation. I will do a new thing. On the strength of the prophetic word, and the word of the Lord which you will be receiving in these next 21 days, your life will be completely transformed. Let's take one or two more verses from there. And the Lord said, the beast of the field shall honor me. The dragons, the owls, because I will give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people My chosen. These people, have I formed? Come on, say, I am formed.
I am formed
to show forth God's praise. I want you to declare prophetically, I am formed to give God's praise. One more time. I give you the praise. You deserve the praise.
The praise.
I give you the praise.
The praise.
You deserve my praise. I give you the praise.
The praise.
You deserve the praise.
My praise.
I give you my praise, Lord. Oh. I give you the praise. You deserve the praise, the praise, the praise. I give you the praise.
I give you the praise.
You deserve
the praise.
You deserve the praise. I give you the praise.
I give you the praise. The praise. You deserve my praise. You deserve my praise.
Come before His presence with grateful gratitude and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Listen, when you come into the holiest of all, and I'm saying this for a purpose now. When you approach, when you going through the curtain, can you hear me? Huh? When you're going through the curtain, you will find the Ark of Covenant. You will find the mercy seat. But on top of the mercy seat, that's where the glory of God is. But you see, on top of that mercy seat, there are two cherubims. And if you see the diagram, even if you go online, just check it out. This is how they stand. Have you seen that picture before? One stands this way, the other stands that way. So they form like, huh? That's how God's presence is. Once upon a time, Lucifer was one of those cherubims. That's why he was called the covering cherub. So that when the priest comes in before the presence of God, the glory coming from the throne will not destroy him. So they were built in such a way as to absorb that glory. So that was where Satan learned many things. Just staying in God's presence, you will learn many things. Not that they will teach you, you will just learn them, you will know them. That was where Satan mistook God's patience and kindness for weakness. Because he felt, if you are this powerful, you force everybody to worship you. But God is not brutal. He doesn't compel. He will allow you to make your choice. Then he will make his choice. Listen. The presence of a cherubim is not one to be taken lightly, because cherubims have one assignment. They stand before God and not men. If a cherubim were to show up here now, you will feel it in the atmosphere. There are angels in this room now. But You may not even feel anything because they are your regular angels. But you see, when a cherubim comes, you will know. And I say this because the Lord has assigned to us for this month one of such creatures. For this month, the Lord has assigned to us one of such terrible creatures. These ones behold the face of the Father. So I will implore you, guard your loins. Be proper. For these ones will not excuse your disobedience. They are not trained to be patient with disobedience. It is the blood of Jesus that can be patient with your disobedience. These ones are sent. And at certain times in the service, they will announce themselves. But I need to give you this notice so that you can be sensitive, because I perceive that very soon one of them will walk into this place. I want us to read and take our journey this morning from Exodus 19. Pray in tongues for a minute if you can. Media, give me Exodus 19 from verse 1. Hopefully we can take it to, if we can, maybe verse 10. If not, anywhere we can. Alema hasuda tele kabasha. Borata kasele beto sofetia. For with a strange tongue and a strange language will I speak to you. Sapala ne safe no sasala. Robiala sakato la fosse perekete. Korabale katose tabala kasate. Korabala katasele. Robo shatele ne satabala. Ora bale kefe sotala ne masota. Sana. Osana. Osana hinda yes. Osana. Osana. Osana in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name.
With a heart full of praise.
In a heart full of praise. Come and experience the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Now I need you to be sensitive. Because we are not alone here. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We have some visitors in our midst. Amen. So, I will try to read this Bible verse very quickly. Hallelujah. Alright. Without losing, coming out of the spirit, let's put up that scripture. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, this was 90 days after they left. The same day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and they were coming to the desert of Sinai. And I want you to know that the counterpart of Zion is Sinai. Sinai belongs to the old covenant. Zion belongs to the new covenant. And at peace in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mountain. And Moses went up to God. Listen to me. When you find yourself in a wilderness, don't complain. Go up to God. Are you with me? It makes a lot of sense to complain. But I came to tell you, if you wake up and find that things around you have no explanation, the Bible said that Moses went up to the Lord. And this is something we must just find a way to remember. Because this is the last thing most Christians do. They will call Brapat. They will call Loretta. They will call pastor. Then when they now realize that there's nothing pastor can do, they will start fasting. And the Lord called out to him out of the mountain. Now, there's something very significant here. Stay on this scripture. He went up to the Lord. That means he climbed up a mountain. He took a journey. You see, there are things about God that you may not have trained for physically. Nobody taught Moses. Moses was a prince. Nobody taught him how to climb mountains. But when the beckoning of God came upon him, he had to learn how to climb mountains. Listen to me. All those skills you have, they will count for you. They will count for you, yeah. He said, and he went up to the Lord, and the Lord called out to him. Excuse me. The question here is, did God beckon to Moses to come up to him? Who decided to go up? There are certain things that you will do out of faith and God will honor it. If you are saying, oh, because you came to my house and for 1 year you saw me eating every morning. You saw me eat, then you now concluded there is no battle around this man. Let me stay here. I am here to tell you that there are certain things in life that do not require a beckoning. They require your own presentation. You have to present yourself. Moses found himself in the desert, and then he decided to present himself before the Lord. And when the Lord saw that he was making an effort, God now spoke. When God saw that he made the effort, God now spoke. When God saw that he made the effort, God spoke. God did not speak before them. This month you will make effort. And God will speak to you. And the Lord said, thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Next verse. You have seen what I did. Oh glory. Listen to me. God does not expect you, for any reason, to forget what he has done for you. Because he doesn't forget. He has not forgotten. You are the one that thinks that thing was just a random experience. God says, you have seen. I don't expect you to forget because I remember. You have seen. You must remember his testimonies. Because there are certain battles you can only fight with testimonies. Are you with me? Are you here or you've gone home? He said, and how I bore you. I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Excuse me. As at the time of this writing, where were the Israelites? Wilderness. Does it suggest that God is never in the public places? Does it suggest that where many people think that they will find him is not where he is? Does it mean or does it suggest to us that if I decide to meet with God, I will have to make an effort, leave the city and go into the wilderness? Does this suggest that if for any reason I want to see God and have an encounter with God, I will not have that encounter in the marketplace? It's not because God cannot show up there. If God shows up in the marketplace, he will disrupt the place. And if that encounter is meant for you alone, God would rather you come aside. There was a man just wanted to heal. Jesus took him and led him outside the city. Because of the significance of that testimony. Even when Jesus, oh glory. Because there is a lot of, I find a lot of similarities between Jesus and Moses. When Jesus also, when Jesus came out of Egypt and they took him back to Israel. Before he started his assignment, he first went into the wilderness. That place called wilderness is the place where you will have personal encounters. Definite encounters. For some people, this is just going to be another fast. For some other, they will take their time and they will spend it on God. And they will come out with major encounter. Listen to me. The first thing you must know about God, after that he is love, is that he is jealous. God sees the way you dance when you listen to secular music. And he sees the way you dance when you stand before him. So you can't fool him. You can't even tell him, well, it's because of the way the beat of the song. No. You've danced to worse things online. Without anybody forcing you. God is a jealous God. If you want to walk with him closely, there are certain things you must understand. When a woman tells you, don't talk to my husband now, he looks calm on the face, but she knows the man is not happy, he's angry. You thinking that he is smiling. It's just like sometimes, you know, Pastor, you want to talk to me, so my wife or someone like Pastor David will tell you, leave him, don't say anything now, just go first. That person has stayed long enough to know that even when he's smiling, he might be upset with you. So go. When it's time, I will let you know. And many of us have worsened our condition by attempting to go to your boss in office and say, sir, I just want to explain what happened. No, but you are going to be fired. Who asked you to come in here? Let the matter rest. Then you go back and address it. Wisdom is profitable to die. There is a way to approach God. And as long as you keep thinking God is what all those things that social media is telling you. Oh, you have been introduced to a demon. Yes. That's why you find that you can scroll on social media and be watching messages. How many of those messages ever made you stop to think? Have you ever bothered? Hello? You realize there are very little, right? Very few of them. Many of those short messages they are just marketing. It's branding. It's nothing about God. It's about the man and his wife. Alright? When you see a man that has had an encounter with God, it's not even about how well he speaks. He may be a boring speaker. He may not speak proper English. See this man. This one, there's something about this one. You say, did our hearts not bond within us? There's something about people who have met God. You just know. And I tell you what disqualifies most people from God's presence is that they don't understand the palace lifestyle. The palace culture. Palace lifestyle. They don't know it. And I tell you, God is love. God is jealous. Sometimes, God may beckon to you. At other times, you will have to take a step and come. Like Esther, who decided to fast, then take a step of faith. And when the king saw her, he stretched the right hand of fellowship, his scepter, saying, you can come towards me. But if that woman had stayed back, planning and scheming, she would have been wiped out. The whole nation, dependent on the faith and resilience of one woman. Don't look down on yourself. The world might call you weak, but are you really weak? You are not weak. Not in that contest. Because we saw Deborah. We saw Esther. When the angel wanted to announce that that Jesus, it was time for Jesus to come into the world, he went to a woman to tell her. He didn't go to the high priest. So are you really weak? Or are you distracted?
Put up that scripture. Next verse.
Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed.
See the matter now. See. I thought that the Lord would have said to our brother, oh, I can see that you are trying to seek me. I don't get this often. Oh yeah, enjoy my presence. Look at what God said to you. Say to your people. Sorry, may I ask a question? Did God say, Moses, if you will obey me? Is that what he said? Talk to me now. Is that what he said? He said, tell your people. Which means, the moment the pastor decided to go and seek the Lord, God expected the whole church to follow him. The moment the president of the nation, who is a child of God, decides to seek God, it was automatic. Or everyone in the nation will fast. The day the father of the house woke up and said, we are going on a retreat this week, it was not negotiable. Every child in the house will also join. The wife cannot say, we're having an event at the office this week. I'm the one planning it. You can plan the event, but you can't eat. I don't feel bad. I also want to taste inside that thing. But for whatever it's worth, the Lord has summoned and given us a beckoning that you guys should come. So those who did not show up, God the instruction. God said to them, which means Moses did the right thing, right? But the people were not used to following. The same way we have many people who are following God, but their children are depending on the faith of their father. They are resting on the fact that mommy is praying, daddy is praying. Then they grow up. Baba is now tired this week. Baba has gone to be with the Lord. The children are now struggling because the enemy can see that the prayer covering has been removed. Don't give your children any property until you have taught them how to pray. Because the demons that will come for that generation will be nothing like the ones we have seen. He said, if you will obey me. This is a conditional statement. He said, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. In other words, I am not just giving you my word. I am bringing you into a covenant relationship with me. Which means that whosoever touches you will touch the apple of my eye. It's a personal covenanted relationship. It is not just a relationship. It is covenanted, established by blood. He said, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Do you know what you do with a peculiar treasure? Huh? You keep it in the bathroom or somewhere that anyone can just... There's a particular watch that I was given. Eh? That watch was purchased from the UK. I normally buy my watches from Ojota and Oshodi. Most times when I'm traveling, they will come. Then when I come back from my trip, I'll go and change the engine. Many years ago. If you want to sell a watch to me for 60,000, I will ask you, sorry, this wristwatch, does it talk? Say no. Does it track? Say no. Can it run? Say no. What is the 60 in it? Say the brand. I say, okay, I forgot about brand. Look at the time is on my phone. Sir, what's the time you tell me? So am I paying? I don't need to. But that was one time, one level. Eh? One level. Because there are places you go. The first thing they look at is your watch. Before they know whether you deserve the contract, they first look at your watch. And they look at your belt and your shoes. They say, okay, just submit your application, go. You are failed. But when you look expensive, they say, okay, sir, would you like some coffee? They say, okay, it's okay. And they say, our boss will see you in a few minutes. Because they can see this one is busy. He's in a hurry. But if you look like a hustler, they'll treat you like one. Put up that scripture. Nobody puts treasure in an open space, in a common place. If you don't consider your body as a treasure, you will give it to dogs. If you don't, it's a personal thing, you know. If you don't, if you think that simply because you feel like, then you can, then you are not the one we are talking to. Just because you feel like, does not mean you should. Your feelings can be your greatest enemy.
And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, we will come to this and isolate this text and we'll look at it some other time. But please go all the way down. And Moses came and called for the elders and laid before their faces all the words which God had commanded him. And all the people answered. How many people answered? You see, in those days I used to believe that simply because everybody shouts hallelujah means that they are awake. A lot of people shout hallelujah asleep because they worked overnight. So even though the spirit is willing, but the flesh. Some people are used to shouting hallelujah and amen, but they are angry at you. Huh? It is suicide for you to think that because people shout hallelujah, they wish you well. You only know yourself.
And all that the Lord has spoken, what we will do what? We will do everything.
And Moses went back to the Lord. He said, are you telling me God did not hear what they said? Moses still packaged that. He wrote a memo. All the elders signed. Carried it. Say, Baba, this is what they said. They said they will obey you. Okay, fine. Verse 9.
And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will come unto you in a thick cloud. That the people may hear when I speak with you. And they will believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Verse 10.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. And let them wash their clothes. Let's do 11. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai. Please take your seats.
We open our fellowship this month with a desire, a yearning for the glory of God. We have seen too much of men. It is now time to meet the God of the house. A generation has risen that have heard about the testimonies of the Lord. But like Gideon, they are asking, are these things really true? A few years ago, 20, 30 years ago, if you heard there was a miracle in any church, you would believe that the Lord was doing something new. You will believe that God has visited his people. But today, if you heard about a miracle, the chances are that it was stage managed. So why is it that God has become so difficult to reach? Why is it that a lot of churches have the fast beginning of the year, you know, mid-year, end of the year, and yet it seems that the more we attempt to reach out, we are yet limited. Why is it that many times we can no longer pray for people unless we give them artifacts, physical things? Because the faith of people is not as strong as what it should be. There's nothing wrong with giving people the anointing oil and some of these things, but I'm telling you, you should not completely depend on them. There's a place for it, but it's not the main thing. Why is it that even though we bear the name of the Lord, it seems as though the Lord is not with us? The Lord said to his servant, I want to come to the people. I want to make them a kingdom of priests. Now, for you to be a priest suggests that you are able to communicate with God, receive feedback, negotiate for the deliverance of a nation. You are a group of people will be kept under you, and you will be able to represent them. You can stand as an intercessor. You can fight their battles with them. You can strengthen them. To be a priest is not a pleasure ride. It's a calling. It's a calling. Which means you know that if you were to jump on a plane right now and you are to touch down, say, in South Africa, the moment your foot touches the soil, there will be a radio message. There will be a radio message that the ambassador representing the kingdom of God has just touched down in South Africa, maybe Johannesburg or Pretoria. You are going to touch down, and the moment your feet registers with the ground, there will be a signal. That signal says either to take ownership of that territory or to relinquish. But in this month, we are taking over. I said this month we are taking over. We will not relinquish our territories anymore. I said we will not relinquish our territories anymore. When you are in control of your territory, there will be prosperity. There will be divine access. Angels ascending and descending. When you are in control of your territory, the voice of God is not far from you. You are living by a divine order. There is a reason everything you do in your house, in your home, around you, is predicated on certain factors, because you know that the Lord is in this place. The Lord said to Moses in verse 10, he says, sanctify them today and tomorrow. In other words, even though he gave them certain instructions, he made Moses responsible for it. And that's why the scriptures, I think it was Peter that was admonishing us. He said, do not make the work of your pastors difficult. Are you still with me? It's in the scriptures. Say, don't make their work difficult. Some people are difficult to a pastor. Some people are church members, but they are not being pastored. Moses went to these people and he told them, clean your house. Purge yourselves. Now, if you would pay attention, or if you would agree with me that the Old Testament requirement for purification was that a lamb needed to be offered for the forgiveness of sins. Huh? They needed to offer a sacrifice, and the high priest will do what he needs to do, and God will cover that sin for a year. Right? But in this case, the requirement was not, as it were, the offering of sacrifice, but personal soul searching. God expected them.
Oh, lebakarabalabasa.
God expected them to clean up. In other words, if I have anything against you, I was to give you a call and say, I'm so sorry, we've not been talking for a while. And I still don't understand how two Christians can be like that. In righteousness, oh. And you are not like that before. I don't get it. There's something wrong. And this may be the month, and it could jolly well be the final opportunity you have to resolve that matter. Nothing destroys covenant relationships like pride. Because you feel you can't take something. So what do you think God has been doing with you all this while? You are not aware God has been coping with you. He's just coping that maybe she will change. Because even God, he cannot kill Jesus a second time because of you. Only you. So he's just coping. So any day you greet him, good morning, my daughter. If you don't greet him, he will hold his side. So when God says, sanctify yourself, God expects you to go and, that quarrel, go and settle it. You have 3 days, 2.5 days, settle it. Clean your house. Oh, you know, when we began to think, there was a time I was prophesying here. It was one of this July month of prayers. Must have been like 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And I gave a prophetic word about someone who had sex toys in the house, right? And I said, the Lord said, go and remove it. I described the person's room, the color, the furniture. It was an online meeting. The person called me from another country after that meeting. In fact, as we were sharing the grace, the person called. He said, I'm the one. Stop it. Say, I should stop it. I say, me, I even thought that, you know, so, if I pray like that, if people from the UK, and God bless you, all of you, if they call me, it's to give me money. This one just called me, say, I should stop it. Say, I am the one you are talking to, but I will not change. I said, I said, I even like you. You are being sincere. She said, oh. She said, I will not change. This one cost me X number of dollars. It's very expensive. This particular one is very expensive. It's better than the. I said, I've never used one. I don't know. If you describe, I don't know what to do with that description, because even know what it. I've never seen one, like physically. I've never held it. I don't know what to do with it. So don't describe. It's for you. This person was willing to accept the prophecy, but not the instruction. So when the Lord said, "Clean up your house," are you with me? You will be wondering that why is God interested in the state of mouth? My brother, there are things in that house that you purchased on your last trip. Can I go deeper? There is a shirt in your house given to you by that girl, Neka. But you didn't tell your wife where you got the shirt from. You just gave her the impression you purchased it. Meanwhile, you wore the shirt immediately and took a selfie and put it on your status so that the owner of the shirt will see that you are rocking the thing here. So even though your wife has your soul, she has your body. Go and clean it out. Please tell your neighbor, go and clean it out. If the Lord, you may be surprised that God is also interested in your wardrobe. Oh. You may be surprised. You see, what the danger you can do for yourself is to think God looks at the heart alone. You don't know Him. Oh no, your knowledge is incomplete. Yes, it's not that you don't know Him. Your knowledge is incomplete. There was a way God required that the high priest must dress. Is salvation not in the heart? Are you still with me? The high priest, though, is a brother. And let me tell you, brothers that love to go about opening your chest and saying the ladies are not moved by what they see. I came to tell you that's a lie. Ladies are moved by what they see. That's why a lady will tell you, I can't marry a short brother. But I came to tell you, we have also rejected you. You are not the only one who rejected us. We also don't want you. You see the work of God like this, you say, I'm short. May the Lord. Yeah, have you seen Bishop Oyedepo? Yeah, hey! You can be short, but the grace on your life. Go to Canaan land and tell me when power. They've been enjoying power supply for years. They were in the same Nigeria. But when you complain, they just say, what's going on? You say, there's no light. Really, we are not aware. They are running their own government. You can drink the water inside Canaan land. Go and try that bowl beside your house. Go and drink it when you get home and see where we are. If they don't admit you. In Nigeria, we pray on our food. Because we don't know. God is our salvation. Who told you God does not look at the outside? He told Moses, tell them, purge and clean up everywhere. And I came to tell you, that is the first groundwork. Go home. As I'm talking, I'll start thinking. We are going to take the cleaning into your WhatsApp. Amen. I will just keep looking straight at the camera. So that nobody will feel guilty. Because we still have some people, sir. Who are still saying, as a Christian, is this how I will be holy till I marry? Huh? No room for small deviation. There's a subject, there's a topic in Father Mass called, is it Mass, Father Mass or Mass? It's called deviation. You deviate. That the most important thing is not to deviate too far away. But you see, what is angle 90? This is, what is this straight line? 180. A circle is what? 360. So what's 90? Aha. 90 is like an L, right? So at the intersection there, you have zero. Right? So that is where you are. That is where the word of God is. That is where you are. Then your friend tells you, why don't you give Prince a chance? But you know, every time you look at the eyes of Prince, this one is not marriage. Prince is a member of the media team in his church. Oh. But this is us, you know, just flexing, just vibing. Then you take a slight detour. Initially, you are 90. Then you start shifting away. What is this? 45, right? 45. But you see, when that travel starts, it looks very inconsequential. Nobody thinks anything about it. It's still somewhere around 0.5, 0.05, 0.8, 1. No, it's not too bad. It's a perfect man. In fact, the scripture says, if any man offend, but not with in his tongue, with the use of his word, he's a perfect man. So we will take this journey after we are done with WhatsApp into the things you are comfortable saying when you are alone, including using the F word. Anytime you are provoked, you use it and you feel better. There's a way the F word communicates your mind better than speaking too much. You know, you are talking too much. The thing will just go. Believe me. And that word is very addictive. That F word. There's a joy it brings to the soul. When you use it. Do I have people who know what I'm talking about? You just use it. Every junk. In fact, there was a time as a Christian. Every syllable, I use F. Thank you. There's a way I ventilate, you know. The thing makes sense. You know, sometimes you use that word to complete every sentence. What the F is this? What the F is that? Don't F delay me. It just has a way of completing. You figure it out. F is the answer. F is the answer. Do you know, sir? It did not take me 2 weeks of you. Just, I was not in any leadership role that period in my life. So nobody was watching me. Most of the films just I watch were using. I just used it. Before I knew it, I couldn't stop. So the remedy was to stop talking. Then tell myself that this also is a sin. Because not only was I using these words, I was enjoying my sin. Do you know that the sins we are unable to break away from are the sins that we love? Do you know that the sins that we struggle with are those sins that we can participate in darkness, in secrecy, where we can just be by ourselves? Those are the kind of sins and iniquity that are very difficult to break. Do you know that there are times you are unable to commit certain sins because some of your Christian sisters came to stay with you for 1 week? You agree with me? They are within your house. So you could not have that dirty chat with Chike. Because there is something about this WhatsApp. I was speaking with a security personnel in Abuja last week. And the person said to me, say, Pastor, we had reasons. Are you with me? He said, we had reasons through the office of the National Security Advisor to go through the call log of a particular pastor. Many incriminating things. I said, wait. Can they hear our conversations? He said, yes. He said, look, keep telling that girl. I just wish you were here. Continue. The day they will bring your file out, the brother told me, even WhatsApp, your messages are not as encrypted. That word encryption is for your own pleasure. It's not for those who need it. But do you know that until today, many of us are not even aware that there is a database, there's a cloud, there's a server somewhere
warehousing all your communications via your registered number. Which is why when you begin to go into the dark web and you begin to go into certain part, maybe you are like all these couriers, people who move illegal funds up and down, the first thing they do is to change your phone. They give you, there's a particular device. It's an encrypted phone. You can't do WhatsApp on it. You can't do anything. And only certain people can reach you on that line. All these phones, they will disable you. The guy told me, even if you turn off your phone, we can find you. But I heard David say it first. He said, where can I hide from your presence? Say, if I go into the depth of the earth, you are there. If I travel down into the depth of the sea, say, you will be there. You cannot, hello, 16, what else do they do there? What is also sin? I know you are not fornicating, but the Lord says, 3 days I want to visit you, clean up. Yes. The church is quiet. Because let me tell you, there's an adulterous spirit going around. And it's always looking for new ways to make sure everybody participates. Alright? It's looking for new ways. Why you think it is still the devil in the Old Testament? This devil now, the devil of today, has WhatsApp. Satan has a WhatsApp line. He has Facebook. He's there controlling the narrative. And they do it in such a way that, like the NSA, you don't know you are being watched. They do it in such a way that you are not even aware you are being controlled. If you like, go on. Say, I will not use my regular line. I will use WhatsApp. I'm going to kill you. I will show you what. We have heard you. We have heard you. The day this brother dies, we are coming for you. Say, Lord, have mercy. All you guilty people, say, Lord, have mercy. We are being washed. The Lord says, clean up. He says, you clean up. Now, the thing about cleaning up is that you cannot do it in a hurry. You have to settle down. Take your time. Segment your life. The problem is not the Netflix or the Prime Time or Prime Video or whatever that you watch. The question is, what type of movies do you actually like to watch? Someone said to me, say, Pastor, me, I like high school movies. High school, you know, high school, they sing, they dance, they're always in love. I just zeroed down on you. Without all those things, you are already endangered. Please tell your neighbor, clean up. So what they would have needed to do in the Old Testament is not what we have to do. We will take it a step further. For you that you know that you are a very huggy person. Huggy. Huggy. That's how you say good morning. This month it shall not be said among, it shall not be so amongst you. There will be no hugging. There are some people, all you need to be disconnected is to hug. And I'm not joking. I didn't say that to make you laugh. Because sometimes most of us are looking for the symptoms. We are trying to trace the root cause. Why you are not yet, you have not yet qualified for glory. Even though you are potentially a candidate, God still looks at you and says, let's wait. Because there is an item in the glory that cannot stand in purity. It will burn it. It will burn it. It will burn it. And you can be a prophet and be a liar. I am here to tell you, most pastors lie. Yes. Most pastors exaggerate. If not, you will not believe them. So when I laid my hands on him, is that how you did it? It's a lie. Exaggeration is a lie. Hello? Yeah, you are trying to convince the client to buy. I am here to tell you exaggeration is a lie. And in case they are trying to use that technique, or you just tell them, all right, call me tomorrow. Let that atmosphere of magic first leave your head first. Then go and watch a movie, sleep, eat. Then I say, hey. Because they'll tell you, this clock is now timing out for 12 minutes.
click the buy button to get 70% discount. But it's a lie. You will keep paying. That's how I bought something. And before I knew it, they said upgrade, upgrade. I spent $700. And I still don't use the software. After paying, you know, I can't remember last time I went to that software to do anything. It's a 3D software. They said, buy and own forever. Then they said, for more features. For more features. They don't even make their adverts with their own software. One of the ways to break the attack of exaggeration and a lying tongue is to come to someone else and say, look at this thing for me. The person will not be as excited as you. The person just say, oh God, there's nothing here. You will feel bad, but you have been saved. We need to clean up. This is a requirement that God demands from every one of us. And if you keep making excuses, you will make nothing. This is something that you will need. Even if you have people around you that provoke you and really make you mad, you will need it. Your next level of encounter requires next level holiness. There is the aspect of holiness that differs to the righteous work of God. But there is another aspect where Jesus said, you be holy as your Father is holy. So God told them, he said, clean your house, clean your environment, and I've told you things you need to clean. You have a friend at the office that is like your paddy, and you guys are always having fun. But when you look at the things you normally talk about, rubbish. So you need to reduce the amount of time you spend talking. Effective 10 p.m., amen and amen, amen. There will be no WhatsApp communication with the opposite gender. You see, those time zones are very tricky. Huh? It's like saying, affection makes the heart fonder. There are conversations around that time where you don't shout, you whisper. And don't play games. And think because you're a pastor, Satan is smart. He's an old devil. He has been doing this for years. And he knows that if you give yourself to this late night thing, he knows the next button that will throw you off. Nobody will press you. No, you won't. Nobody will press. But you will know that night was different. You will dream and you will see yourself getting married to that girl and having 3 children before you wake up in the morning. And then you wake up and look at your wife when she looks old. Can I tell you that girl is only looking that way because you've not married her? We are campaigning. But when you marry her, you will meet the real person. And that brother that keeps telling you that, no, how much is it? Just pick it. Send the account details to me. We are campaigning. When you come in, we don't know. I'm saying all of these things because they are not inherently bad. But when you, Loretta, when you, Tina, Shadia, Kemis, Yomi, everybody hearing my voice, when you decide that you want to come before the king, you cannot come anyhow. You must understand the requirement of the palace. Palace style, palace culture. There was a time after God had used Moses to bring out the children of Israel. Then it occurred to Moses. Because personally, when I first read the story of how God revealed himself to Moses, the scripture said the Lord appeared in a burning bush. It was later we realized from the scripture that it was not actually the Lord. It was an angel. An angel of the Lord. So, please, stay with me for a second. There is an angel that is known as the angel of the Lord. That's his office. Shall I repeat? There are many categories of angels. But there's a particular category. That angel is called the angel of... It's not in a generic sense.
in that means that is God's personal
bodyguard.
That angel, if it comes to you, it speaks in first person as though you are hearing God. So you will think that is God, but it speaks to you in first person.
Go and do your research.
The angel also came in a burning flame, such that when our brother saw it, he just knelt down, removed his shoes, and was sotana. That's, there are things you see. Before you even argue, you will first kneel down. Because this thing is too much for me. So if Moses could kneel down, why am I? A black man. I will roll. I will roll on the floor. By the time they came out of Egypt, it occurred to Moses, I am representing a God I have never met. When you have seen his might and his power, God cannot be this burning bush. No. Cannot. God will be more than this. So in Exodus 33, let's go to Exodus 33, he began to raise a cry and say, God, I want to see you. It's good that I'm able to do your job, but there is a depth that comes into my ministry. There is a depth that comes into my life. Anybody can stand here and say, oh, clean up your house, live a holy life. You see, but when you see him, you will not need anybody to tell you that, for your name is holy. You will go and tell all your friends living with you, you cannot play secular music in my house. Because now you are conscious of the fact that you are in this space with a holy God. The moment he senses disrespect, he turns back. He cannot stand it. He doesn't beg for your attention. He doesn't beg for attention. He doesn't beg. You need to know who this God is. He doesn't beg. Oh. One brother was online. He was preaching. One Oyinbo guy. And he was preaching. And he was saying, Jesus apologized to him. Just because a white man says it doesn't mean it makes sense. Oh. A lot of them are actually not wise. Just because you will see all of them. I had a vision. I went to heaven. And you are like this. And your nation is like this. Is it the same Jesus you saw? The one that Paul saw. And he could no longer be a Pharisee. Did Jesus ever tell Paul, don't be a Pharisee again? He said, I count all those things as loss. The Jesus that can take a PhD hydrodynamics, mathematics lecturer to come and become a poor man to be a general overseer of Redeemed Church. And just, you know, say, and you ask for his class, what will I, are you sure I can do my work? Should I look for somebody else? Jesus, you see that first class you are pursuing, it's only for you. It doesn't make meaning to God, though. I came to announce to you, Paso, but it's for you, it's for this earth. There is a man of God, what's that thing, is it molecular biology? Dr. Luca. He's even a professor, he's not a doctor. But let's just say doctor. When Papa Olukoya had his first class, he went abroad, succeeded, came back. When God wanted to go and see, and you would not have gone to study this. Well, can you do this work? They're suffering. No, can you do it? God did not. God just called him. Resume. The way God called Ayo Babalola, the way God called those that were not educated. That's how he called those with PhD. The same calling, holy calling. Your PhD. What else do you have after your professorship, your emeritus professorship, only has meaning with men. If Baba looks at you and says, you look like someone that can serve me, Tieti Bae. How do you interpret that one in English? Tieti Bae. You need to understand your Yoruba. It's a slang. Please help me now. The thing don't cut. But I'm not sure that's actually the right. That there's. It's like saying someone has met his Waterloo. If God looks at you and says, your one leg is already on the plane, and they are saying, oh God, move now, and then you hear my son, and you look back. And it was the angel of the Lord standing there. Say, for this purpose have I called you. To go to the nations of the earth and speak the word of faith, bringing deliverance. For this shall be the mountain of fire and miracle. If you put one leg like this and you look back, you know you have never seen a vision. That day the angel will be so clear like this. You, Koro, he will be the one standing behind, on that line. The person behind you is an angel. Say, for this purpose we called you. Say, would I follow me, Richard? Say, yes, we have ticket. Listen, those earthly considerations, because I perceive that our earthly considerations are one of the greatest hindrances to our highest potential in God. Those things are good, but please, when talking to God, put them aside. Moses was a prince. He was a prince in Israel. If he needed something, all he had to do was tap his finger and they will bring it. In those days, like coming to America, they will have to brush your teeth for you. You don't even know how to brush your own teeth. Oga, start learning, where we are going is Paco. Paco. There is no supermarket in the wilderness. Oh. I don't like this soap. I'm reacting to where we are going. You may not see water to bathe for 5 days. Oga, start adjusting. You can encourage the brethren. Start adjusting. You will not have Mary Kay, so leave it. You won't need it. Plate your hair. Shuku. Do something that is natural. Because where we are going, you will not need those things. But look at how Moses responded to the calling of God. Initially with caution, then he jumped in. When he saw how God's power was able to deliver, he jumped in. Look at Paul. He jumped in. But look at all these people. Daniel. Mention anybody. They were required to walk away from a type of life. Not keep that life. So Moses was asking God. Let's read Exodus 33. 15. So there was a conversation going on. Please, again, I want you to consider that as at this stage, Moses could hear the voice of God. Moses was not a stranger to the voice of God. He was a full-blown prophet, but no encounter is possible. And my prayer is that this month, there will be a major visitation. Kai, 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 kai. We need the visitation that will cause us to turn aside. The scripture said when Moses saw the burning bush, he said, I will turn aside. Listen, there is something that God needs to do to get your attention so that you can turn aside. Because the way you are going, nothing will distract you. You are already set in your ways. You are on your way to African Development Bank. However, there is a higher purpose. God's higher purpose for you might not be African Development Bank. It may be Bank of America somewhere. But who shouted? What? Anyway, I can't blame you. You have received it already. Amen. So most times, you are not even aware that your own expectation of yourself is still beneath what God has for you. You are not aware. You think you are the one who seems to have it all worked out. I came to announce to you that thing you think that if you find today, you will be alright, is still far below God's plan for you. But there are levels of revelation about yourself you will only get through, for instance, dreams. Some you will get through revelation. Some you will get through prophetic ministry. Some you will get through impartation. But there are some you will never find until you step into the glory. The glory surpasses all. The glory surpasses all. The glory surpasses all. He said, if your presence will not go with me, carry us not. Hold on. If your presence will not go with us. Are you saying something? This was the first level of agreement. These people already had an angel assigned to them. And yet, Moses said, an angel is not enough. If your Shekinah glory will not go with me, because before God visits a nation, he will find a man. do not let us leave this place. You must be willing to say to God, don't promote me outside your glory. Don't let me have false sense of promotion. And I'm going far away from you. I'm going far away from you. The greatest security to your destiny is that God's presence is still the primary description for your life, not your gift. He said, for wherein shall it be known that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that in that you go with us? So shall we be separated. Now, hold on. Do you know that when God was saying to them that consecrate yourself, separate yourself, look at the description for the definition for separation, is that what God's presence was always with them. So the reason why we clean up is so that we can set the stage for Him to take over. To take over the vessel, both physically, emotionally, psychologically, and physically. There are people listening to me. God only has their spirit. God, their soul belongs to five different men or five different women. There are women who wish that they were married to the pastor, but they are married though. There are people who wish. So this month, we will bring down all those idols, and we will not rest until you see me as your brother, and I see you as your sister, as my sister. So we will confront it, because you will pray, but you notice God is just watching you. There is something He wants to see. He has not seen it. Once in a while, He will give you small rain. You say, "Ah, hallelujah!" That's not God's best. His best is not visitation, it's habitation. He will take your body and live there. So that is the destination. And Moses said, God, what is the essence of all this? You open the Red Sea, you deliver us, you give us miracle. It's good, but you. This is the tone that we must carry. If not, you will not be able to pray for 21 days. You will be waiting for the next prayer point tomorrow evening. We must set the tone so that wherever you are, you know the outcry for the month. You can pray without prayer point. He said, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know you by name. Now, that is a separate matter, but let's move on. And he said, this is Moses now. I beseech, please give me another version for this one. Moses said, I beseech you, show me, give me another version. And Moses said, please show me. Effing on me. I know I have been serving you, but I am still far away. You cannot claim to be close to God if you don't know this realm. You may be very powerful. You may even be a powerful preacher or a powerful teacher. There are many people teaching in sin, but they are far away, but they are preaching, and people are clapping for them on Instagram. But they are far away. I counseled with someone who is the spouse of a very popular minister. The person was here recent, not too long ago. The man was clapping, they were clapping for him, but the man was beating, abusing the wife, manhandling her. But he was speaking through his nose. So it's not by preaching. Preaching is important. Amen. Because when we call you, you will preach. And you are called to be a preacher, whether in your office or wherever you find. But I'm telling you that this level is above preaching. When you encounter God's glory, there are certain rules God will give you that will be personal to you. Are you here? You have gone no more. I say there's a level you will see in God. God will tell you. You must not watch television again. Yes. And it will become a law for you, not for everybody. God will tell you, what's that your club again? If you lie, I will catch you. Say Arsenal. From today, you don't have club again. Now, your motivation for subscribing to DSTV has now been taken away, because the one who has called you said he doesn't want to hear that word again. Meanwhile, the moment you hear that instruction, you will now hear that, Arsenal won one match. Yeah, that they beat Fulham 3-0.
The match they decided. There's another one. They are going to play Man U. Ah, that one. People, everybody just talking about it. And God will allow you here. See, did you see when people will expect you to comment? You can't comment because you didn't watch it. Sir, how far? Where you did say ideas? You know what he says? My God. See, that guy not supposed to play defense. Now, striker. You don't even know. You know, you didn't watch it. So, and the one who called you said he doesn't want to hear that word in your mouth again. So, but it's a lot to you. If you tell me, the pastor, I can say, or Agba, I can understand. A higher lean, we never understand. Put up that scripture. Let's go to the next verse. And God said, I will make all my goodness. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you will cause your goodness to pass before us. To pass before us. In the name of Jesus. Your journey into glory starts with you receiving the grace to now acknowledge God's goodness. It looks like something very small. The moment you can wake up and the goodness of the Lord becomes very clear to you, you are getting very close. God said, I will make my goodness pass before you. You will just wake up in the morning and you'll be singing, your goodness yesterday gives me strength for today. Your goodness today gives me strength for today. Unfailing God, that's who you are. Unfailing God, that's who you are. Listen to me. That operation is not because you told yourself, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to sing this song. God is causing his goodness. And as you are singing it, there might not even be food at all. There might be a major need in the house that day, that week. But look at the way God started that day with you. The moment you are beginning to find that the goodness of the Lord is becoming very clear and very, very obvious to you. Don't look back. Look at all the things you've been through in the last 3 months. You're like, wow. This is God's goodness. This is God's goodness. Oh, wow. You just look back like, how did I survive this one? How did I survive? You are already on the journey into glory. That is why Satan will try to destroy that true spirit of testimony. Because he knows that every time you are conscious of his good, testimonies are testaments of his goodness, not your faithfulness. When you say God is good, you are testifying of the person of God. Give me that scripture quickly. He said, I will cause my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. For I will be gracious. To whom I will be gracious? Give me King James. Ali mahasati yabara. Ora bikata selebelo kosa. You see, there are prayers, and we are going to pray this prayer a lot this month. You see, the prayer that provokes mercy. Yeah. You will see the difference. He said, I will be gracious. To whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy. On whom I will show mercy. Go ahead. And the Lord said, he said, there is a place by me. There's a rock beside me. The scripture said there was a rock that followed them through the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. Now God is talking about that. He said there's a rock beside. He said you shall stand upon that rock. Oh Lord, our son, works of man, you are the holy God. Listen to me. You want to see God. The moment you are introduced to his goodness, the next thing that will happen to you is that you will be given a revelation of who Christ is. You will now be required to stand on that revelation. Because Satan will tell you, you are not the type of person that can see God. Satan will tell you, the last time you had an abortion, you took yourself there. You took yourself to that boy's house. Nobody knew what you did. Nobody knew you got pregnant. Nobody knew you did an abortion. And you are here asking for God's grace. God will say, stand on this rock. This rock is called mercy. Stand on this rock. Stand on it very well. Stand. You stand. You say, yeah. He said, because thou cannot see my face. For there shall no man see my face and live. So the only way to protect you is to stand on the rock. Eh? That's why many occultic people are hit badly. They are being hit because their gateway into the spiritual realm is not God. They bypass. It's like taking out your bypassing your fridge and your AC and doing a direct connection. You are not working in righteousness. There are many people who will tell your office, when I sleep, I dream, the things I see come to pass. Some of them will meet you on the way and tell you, like the one in Ghana, was telling one pregnant woman, say, till you have your baby, don't drink orange. The woman, another prophet. Is that, if I knock you, is that a prophecy? The boy even looks like he needs help. Pushing wheelbarrow. He sees a pregnant woman at the market square. He now says, come. Just have some bold face, you know. Come. Till you give birth. You must not take orange and pineapple. Say, thank you, prophet. Thank you. And in Ghana, once they give you prophets, you must drop money. So the guy will just be going about looking for pregnant women. Because at that level, you are vulnerable. So I give you word. Even if I tell you that I saw you fall down into a ditch because you are pregnant, you take it seriously. The boy was just going around the market making cool money. And people were calling him prophet. I say it's like the business is booming in that side. God forbid, but give me that scripture. And the Lord said, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock quickly, and it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I'm passing by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. Next verse. And the Lord said to Moses, before I come, hew thee two tables of stones, like unto the first, and I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first table, which thou broke. Next verse. And be ready in the morning. God gave him a time. He said, be ready in the morning. This statement, be ready in the morning, is like when God tells you from July 6th fast. Be ready. You will not know what God will do, but he will be watching your compliance. He will be watching your compliance. He said, be ready in the morning and come up onto Mount Sinai and present thyself. Dear to me, present thyself. I know you started the fast today, but have you presented yourself? You know, this matter of presenting is so important in this business. You come and you register that you have resumed. Well, the fast has started. You don't start the fast by avoiding food. You start the fast by presenting yourself. When you wake up in the morning, Oluwa iwoni. Oh yeah, that is the cry that you have resumed for this 21 days of inner workings of divine encounter. You don't you know, because many of us are used to staying away from food. We don't know that there is a way to present yourself before the Lord. You must declare His goodness. You present yourself. Put up that scripture. No time. Say, present yourself to me at the top of the mountain. That means that brother needs to climb the mountain, separate himself, the same way Jesus had to separate himself and go into the wilderness for 40 days. And be ready in the morning. Okay, go to the next verse. And no man shall come up with you, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herd feed before that. Anything that can distract you, put it away. It's all right to turn off your phone. Are you hearing me now? I said it's all right. If you want to pray for 30 minutes, turn off your phone. The devil will tell you, your customers will call you. God is here to tell you, no, the only thing you will get is distraction. You want to find me? I won't share space. You want to find me? I won't share space. Go to those your clients that you are running, those ones with the real money. Huh? Go to them. When their altar, when the priest of that altar that summons them, they will leave whatever they are doing. I'm not around. They are going. Some of them have shrines in their houses that even their wives dare not open that door and go in, because the altar is summoning them. How dare you?
You take your phone, you come in, and you say you want to spend time, and you go on your knees. You see, sometimes it is not really the kneeling down. It's just that the kneeling down gives you a heart posture. It reminds you that you are standing before a holy God. What are you doing with that WhatsApp? What are you doing? What are you checking? What are you checking? We have not met him. Say, don't let any flock. Don't let any call of the container has landed. Don't let anything. Stay away. Stay away. You are standing before. You see, unless you know he is the most holy God, you can't. He won't let you stand before him. You must come to that personal realization that you are standing on holy ground. You are standing before the God of your life. You cannot come anyhow. Drop everything. If it is too much for you, may I also tell you that when you get to your FCC office, you drop your phone. They won't allow you. May I also tell you that if your phone rings in the courtroom, are you still here? If that is a man requiring that from a man, and you have the God, you have no regard for the eternal, you think you will find God this way, you will miss him. It is not the phone, it is what it represents. He said, don't allow any flock. Don't allow anything. Come around this mountain. Mofe Pharaoh, eh? I want to reveal myself to you. Anything that we know, you may have your recorder. If the purpose of the phone is to record, fine. Anything that we know aid this process, take it out. You must be disciplined. Put up that scripture. We are going to change, oh. All of us, we are going to change. Put up next verse. Next verse. Next verse. And the Lord descended in the cloud. After Moses had complied, the Lord saw him. And the Lord did not just touch the earth. The Lord used a cloud as a carpet. A cloud. He descended in a cloud. And let me tell you, whenever you sense that God is about to reveal himself, it's the time to break into very holy praise. God, they will not teach you that. I'm telling you now. It's in the Bible. Heaven and earth adore him. Angels bow before him. What a mighty God we serve. The moment you begin to ventilate, and you find that he is coming closer. He's coming closer. That is your best time. That is the best time to release your voice. Don't do it like a white man. Don't talk to him like he's not a white man. You will cry with your vocal cords. You will release it. And you will declare, heaven and earth adore him. Angels bow before him. What a mighty God. We say, give me that scripture. The Lord descended in the cloud. You know what? Tina, you are the one praying though. You are Moses. Eh? Let's assume this is where you are facing. You are praying. Lord, reveal yourself to me. I cannot remain this way. Reveal yourself to me. You are praying very hard. The Lord descended in the cloud behind you. Eh? And put up that scripture. Look at what the scripture said. Say the Lord came and stood with him. The Lord stood with him there. Glory stood with him there. This was a man. Say, Lord, show me your face. Show me your face. He was praying passionately. And the Lord came in the cloud. No noise. God saw this one was serious. He came and stood with him. God was not ashamed to identify with him. Say, this one is ready. Give me the next verse. Then the Lord passed by before him. You know, sometimes I used to think God is a dramatist. He just has one. The Lord stood with him. Then he came. He looked at him. Then the Lord started talking. This is almost equal to incantation. I am the Lord. I am the Lord God. I am merciful. I am gracious. I have long suffering. I am the one who is abundant in goodness and in truth. The Lord started speaking to himself. These were the words. You see, you wanted to hear forensic prophecy. You wanted to hear the prophet call your number and call your address. Look at what God said. He said, he introduced himself. This one no be angel. This one is not an angel. He said, I am Emiloluwa. Emiloluwa, I am the Lord God. I am merciful. I am merciful. Oh my goodness. Look at the way he introduced himself. When you see me, you meet with mercy. You meet with a new beginning. He said, I am merciful. I am gracious. When I come into your space, I give you grace. For everything you have lost, I can give you a second chance. He said, I am willing to wait for a long time. I can be patient. I can hold your hand and walk with you. I know you make mistakes, but I will hold your hand. I will walk. Why? It's not because God condones your error. It's because your heart is right. It's because your heart is right. He held. Look at the way God was. He was not even talking to Moses. God was talking to himself. The same way in Genesis chapter 1, he said, let us make man in our image. So when God came into that meeting and stood with the brother on that rock, he was not alone. They started Holy Ghost vibing. They started talking to each other. They started talking to each other. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. There are conversations you will only hear when you are quiet in his presence. When you can stay long enough, take the heat, stand the kitchen, the heat of the kitchen, then you will begin to hear things. God proclaimed his own glory. No man can glorify God for God. Next verse, quickly. He said, I keep mercy. Have you ever gone to the house of your grandmother and she has a store where she hides things? She even has water, a drum of water, because sometimes in the community there will be no water. She keeps a drum there. You see food. This is not the kitchen, no. This is a store. God says, I have a store where I keep mercy for thousands. For thousands. For my brother, I can address your case. Address the case of your brothers. Address the case of your family members. I have mercy for thousands. For thousands. I have mercy here. This mercy is enough for you, your sisters, your brothers, your mother, your lineage. I have mercy for thousands. I have mercy. Listen, when it comes into your life, the first thing it brings to you is mercy. Mercy. That mercy is what will qualify you. Because ordinarily you don't qualify. But your God will look and say, Mo fe shanu fwe. The moment he says that to you, that mercy is coming to 1,000 people. I say anytime God speaks to you, that mercy is strong enough to benefit 1,000 people. Your children, your children's children, children's children. 1,000 people. That vial of mercy is enough for them. Somebody shout amen. God says, I am the one who forgives sins. He said, I forgive sins. You see, many of those people you are putting your hope on, they will not forgive you. Human beings don't forgive you. He said, me, I will forgive. He said, I'm the one who forgives iniquity and transgression. And those are two separate words. So I will come back and you remind me, I will tell you the difference. He said, I will not clear the guilty. I will visit the iniquity of the fathers. Listen, at some point this month, we will address the errors committed by our fathers. It may not even be your father, it may be your great grandfather. There are things you are not aware of. But God says, we will not excuse it. However, because there is a child of mercy, there is opportunity because of what Jesus has done on the cross to set aside that law. It will not have effect. See Moses that has been delivering God's messages to people. When he saw God this time around, Look at it. He made haste. He became terrified. He became afraid. He made haste. He hurried. He laid on the floor. He bowed his head. I want to see your face. I want to see your face. When he saw God, he could not look. Moses, look at me now. Moses, you wanted to see me. I am here. You want to know who I am. I am here. The Bible said he heard it. He made this. Ah, brother, I'm still here. He bowed his head. The child has now come to where he will be afraid. He has seen something. When he was praying, he did not know what he was asking for. Moses made this. Can you see the attitude of God's chasers? The attitude of men who are desperate for God. Not men who want to fit in, but men who want to stand out. Look at him. He humbled himself. This was the leader of 5 million people. The Bible said he made haste. He hurried. This is not the time to be opposed to Moses. It's not the time to be a prophet. Oh, Teriba. He bowed his head. He bowed his head and worshiped God. Give me that scripture. He bowed his head. Now, you probably want to take a snapshot of this one. Or go and mark it in your Bible somewhere. Give me that scripture. Alright? Where's that scripture? He said, and he bowed his head to the earth. And he began to worship God. Give me the next verse. He began to worship God. Listen, I know many people who say they saw God, didn't see. Isaiah was a prophet, but when he saw God, he became a sinner. He said, this is my mouth. I've always known this is what will kill me. I'm a sinner. He did not say, oh, Yakayim Alas, I'm your prophet. Hallelujah. The moment he saw God and he saw the divine order in the presence of God, when he saw the divine order, the scripture said his train filled the temple. Huh? The train. Huh? The people on that line and the robe he wore. You will see the robe even after God has gone. Stretching out. When God visits town, when God comes to his temple, you will see the gown. You will see the people. The embassy of men. Of spirits. You see his team. The people that go with him. A long line. It's not a small person. It's not the one that when you come down from the plane, like we do here, you shake everybody. They don't have anything they're doing at the office. You shake them. Till another trip. That's not what we are talking about. You want to shake these ones? One of them looked at Isaiah. Say you're a sinner. Went to the altar. Brought a live coal of fire. Coal. That one that something close to the one grandma used to use in those days. That big coal. Use the tongue to hold it. Oh yeah. Give me your tongue. You like talking, Abby? Take Paika satire. They did not pray for Isaiah. They put fire there. They didn't pray for him. For Isaiah's words to become powerful. For him to be able to prophesy about the Christ. For him to become supercharged. That was chapter 6. So he already had 5 chapters. How many chapters are in Isaiah? 66 or so. If I'm not mistaken. 66. 66. Minus 5. 61. Go and look at the type of prophecies that started coming out. Isaiah spoke more about Christ than any other person. Ooh, Isaiah was a hope bringer. He was a hope bringer. But look at chapter 1 to 5. Oh, he was brutal. Isaiah no dey gree. Isaiah is like John. He will tell you are going to hell today. When they dropped, they touched his tongue, with that coal. And that is a prayer for us this morning. Because some things are better experienced. I said some things are better experienced. The angel said, the creature said to him, now your tongue has been cleansed and your sin has been purged. Since that time, there was nothing Isaiah said that was not from the heart of God. We need God to touch our tongue. Put up that scripture. That look at the same prayer, line of prayer. The brother that was so righteous started saying, God, if I have found grace. Before he was saying, I want to see your glory. But when God came, he now realized that if God comes, you still need grace to stand before him. Because the glory coming from him can blast you. You will not exist again. He said, God, if I have found grace. God, if I find grace, Lord, I pray you. He started praying, started interceding for the people. He said, we are your inheritance. Help us, help us, help us. He started praying. Next verse. And God said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvelous things, such as not been done in all the earth. Say amen. Amen. Not in any nation, and all the people among which thou shalt see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with you. Stand up. Let's pray. We have seen what your certificate could give you. We now want to see that terrible thing that God can do with your life. Listen to me. You cannot fit into the pack. The world will not see you. We are going to take this journey. You need to be in the spirit too. Because you will be the one. I'll be riding on your back. So this is where we are going to start from. And we are going to pray. Yesterday is gone. Today I believe. Holy Ghost fire, breathe on me. Yesterday is gone. Today I believe. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. On me, Holy Ghost fire, breathe on me. Yesterday is gone, today I believe. Holy Ghost fire, breathe on me. Yesterday is gone. Today I believe. Holy Ghost fire, breathe on me. Yesterday is gone.
Yesterday is gone. Today I believe. Holy Ghost fire, bring it on me.
You can't fake an encounter. You can't fake an encounter. If God shows up in your life now, you will know. I want you to cry to God. And please, I beg you, don't say, Pastor is praying for me. If that chair where you are sitting is a problem for you, leave it and come out. You must find God. What you are looking for is not a new job, it's God. What you are looking for is not favor, it's God. Many fireless Christians walking up and down. Many are being oppressed by the devil because there is no fire on that altar. This is an error. This is an error. I want you to call upon God this morning and say, Lord, I open the chambers of my soul. Come and take it. Come and take it. Come and take it. Come and take it. I open the chambers of my soul. Come and claim it. Claim it. Claim it. Can you open your mouth and begin to pray?